Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even. Like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations, because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic!
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
And was there anything about that pattern itself, both the depth, the freshness, the location of it, that made you feel it was consistent with a bullet strike?
All of those factors help make it consistent with it, not to mention the location of the projectile that was in close proximity to this defect.
So let's talk a little bit about those projectiles. I'm putting Exhibit 40 up here. Do we see the projectile over here next to Charles Vallow?
Yes.
Now, were you aware when you were given this scene that fire had already been there?
Yes, I was.
Pretty obvious because of all the medical devices, right?
They left a tail.
And if you were advised that fire has testified that they rolled Mr. Vallow onto his right side towards the west, would that have then exposed his left shoulder there?
It should have.
Do you know whether or not that bullet was ever moved at all personally?
I have no idea what the condition of that bullet was until I physically saw it.
Okay. Now, the location of this bullet here on the floor next to Charles, why is that significant in determining whether or not Charles was upright or down?
Well, it's significant because for this particular shot, he would have basically been vulnerable, if you will.
Let me ask it this way. Why is that significant in making your opinion that he was on the floor versus upright for the shot to the abdomen?
Oh, okay. The angle of entry into the abdomen and exit is not consistent with him being upright or any other way other than lying on the floor. The defect is where the defect is, and the bullet, as demonstrated with the chest shot, had enough energy to exit. And had he been any other direction, I would not have expected the defect to be right underneath the body.
So if someone is standing and someone's on the floor shooting upward, where would the bullet go?
Well, if he's standing and the shooter is horizontal, then the bullet would go towards the ceiling or high wall area.
So this idea that it would end up on the floor below him and right next to him, would that fit with that scenario?
Of him standing, no.
When you're looking at the bullets and the location of them in this scene, we had that other projectile, and I'm going to put 20 up here, that went into the baseboard on the east side of the room, correct?
Yes.
When you talk about someone being standing upward and the bullet being slowed, how can you explain to us how this bullet landing over here and embedding itself in that baseboard is consistent with Charles being standing upright when he was shot?
It fits the dimension of the room. It fits the wound path through the chest and exiting the back, because the exit is lower than the entry. So there is already a downward motion to it. I know that the bullet struck the spine prior to exiting, so that would bleed even some more energy from it and potentially cause it to start dropping as well.
So the wound itself was slightly downward?
Yes.
And then given the distance away from Charles, this would be in your mind consistent with having gone through him in that chest to back exit downward angle?
Correct.
So that really only left one other bullet in the room to explain the other injury?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's the one that was right next to him?
Correct.
You were asked whether or not you made assumptions about the shooting, how it occurred. When you got to this scene, you were given a basic briefing, right?
Yes.
How do you start looking at a scene when you're observing the evidence there?
I do an overall assessment of the scene. I apply the initial information that's given to me, and I progress from there.
Are you... if the physical evidence is what it is, are you trying to find a new way to make that work?
No, I let the evidence speak for itself.
So here the physical evidence is one bullet is in the baseboard, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so that had to come from somewhere that makes sense for that trajectory, right?
Yes.
And then the other bullet is right next to Charles.
Correct.
And so, again, you're looking at all the physical evidence and how that fits together?
Yes.
And in this case, in your opinion, the shot through Charles's chest that exited his back, did the evidence support to you that he was standing up for this shot?
Yes.
And in your opinion, looking at all the physical evidence from the casings, the projectile, the injuries to Charles, was that consistent with the shooter? And now that you know the stippling, with the shooter being still in that sort of kitchen hallway-ish area when he fired that shot at Charles?
Yes.
And in your opinion, again, looking at the casings, the injuries to Charles, the location of the projectile, as well as the shored wound, and the lack of stippling, does that support your opinion that Charles was on the ground when he was shot in the abdomen?
Yes, it does.
I have no other questions, Your Honor.
Are there any questions for this witness from the jury? I'm not seeing any. You can step down. They can call its next witness.
If I may go get her.
All right, come on up. You're going to stand right here and be sworn in. All right, you're going to come around the court reporter, have a seat up here to my left.
Can you please introduce yourself to the jury?
Hi, my name's Nancy Jo Hancock.
And do you go by Nancy Jo?
I do.
How old are you?
61.
And do you currently work?
I'm self-employed.
Do you live here in Arizona?
In Mesa, yes.
Born and raised here?
Born and raised here.
Do you have your own children?
5.
Do you have grandchildren?
15.
Busy person?
Yes.
I'm going to direct you to a person by the name of Charles Vallow. Did you ever meet a person by that name?
I did.
How did you meet him?
I'm divorced. I was on an LDS dating site, and when new members join, it tells you this is someone new. And he sent me a message, and we began messaging.
Initially, did you just talk to him through? Do you talk through the website? How does that work?
Through the website at first, and then he asked for my phone number, and then we were texting and talking on the phone as well.
Do you recall approximately when you met him?
It was early July, I believe the 3rd.
And so you said you guys would text. Was this?
A lot.
What's a lot to you?
Charles was a texter and a talker, and he was good at banter, and there were hundreds of texts by the time I had met him.
You said you talked on the phone with him as well?
For hours.
Did you have a conversation with him once that lasted almost 3 hours?
Probably more than one, yes.
When you met Charles in early July, did you know he was still married?
He told me he was in the process of a divorce.
Okay. Did you know whether or not he was living with his wife at that time?
He was in Houston. His soon-to-be ex-wife was here. When he came to Arizona, he was meeting a realtor to find a place to live when he was here as well.
So when you're first meeting him, he's out of state, but he has a connection here to Arizona, so you keep talking to him?
Correct.
Okay. As you guys are talking and texting, did you eventually have enough interest that you decided you wanted to meet him?
Yeah.
Did you know what Charles did for a living?
Life insurance and something with money. I try not to have that be the focus when I'm getting to know somebody so that I get to know them for them and not what they do for a living.
So you didn't really care too much about
No.
what his job was?
No.
Did you know he traveled a lot for work?
Yes.
Um, As you and Charles are talking and texting, just sort of yes or no, can you tell us, did he get very detailed about his life with you?
Yes.
Did you know if Charles had children?
Yes.
Just yes or no again, did you talk to him about his wife specifically?
A lot.
Did he mention his wife by name?
Yes.
What did you believe his wife's name was?
Lori Vallow.
Have you ever met Lori Vallow?
No.
Again, just sort of yes or no. Did Charles talk to you about
Your Honor,
why?
Objection. Leading.
Objection.
I haven't heard the question yet. Go ahead.
So, just yes or no. Did Charles talk to you about why
leading
he was
Leading is yes or no.
No, leading is a question that suggests the answer. So, she can answer yes or no.
So, again, just yes or no. Did Charles talk to you about why he was separated from his wife?
Yes.
Based upon your discussions, how long did you think there had been issues going on between Charles and his wife?
For several months, but more intensely the last, since the beginning of that year was 2019, so since the beginning of that year.
You told us that Charles talked to you in, well, let me ask you, yes or no, did he talk to you in great detail about his relationship with Lori Vallow?
Yes.
You told us you met on an LDS dating site, right?
Correct.
So you are you a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
I am.
Was there anything that you were hearing that you thought were outside of your beliefs?
A lot of things.
As Charles was telling you these things about his wife, can you tell us his demeanor, what his voice was like, you know, what his attitude was like as he's talking about that?
I just remember thinking that he was strangely calm and still kind towards Lori, even through what they were going through.
You told us you were aware he had a child. Did you know where that child lived, who the child lived with?
Yes.
Who was that?
He was living with Lori at that time.
He had
older children as well, but the young one was living with Lori.
You have these conversation with Charles about his wife and these things that to you seem outside the LDS religion. Why do you keep talking to him?
Well, he was very charming and kind and funny and very clever, really good banter. A lot of craziness going on around him, but he seemed pretty awesome.
Now, you guys had just known each other for a few days. Did you think you and Charles were exclusive?
Heavens, no.
So would you be surprised to learn that he was talking to other people on other websites?
Not at all.
Did he, in fact, share some of that with you?
He did. He shared some pictures of some woman that had sent him that were quite scanty and then proceeded to ask him for money and thought how funny that was that that's what people were doing online.
Did you eventually meet Charles in person?
I did.
And how many times did you get to meet him in person?
Just once.
What day was that?
He was flying in from Houston, and we had arranged to go to dinner that night. His plane was delayed, and so I met him that night on the 10th of July.
July 10th, was that 2019?
Correct.
And was that then here in Arizona that you met?
It was.
You said that you had original plans to meet, and they got pushed back?
Yeah, his plane was delayed, so we met a little later than we were supposed to.
Oh. Where did you guys meet? What did you do?
At the Keg restaurant by Santan Mall, and we ate, but we talked until the restaurant closed. We were the last people there.
So you shut the place down?
We did. I finally looked around, and I realized that we were the only ones there and told him we probably should leave, and then we went outside and talked by my truck for another 45 minutes or so.
Based upon everything you had heard, was Charles coming in to see you, or was there some other reason he was in Arizona?
Charles was ecstatic to see JJ. He was coming to see JJ, so excited to take him to school the next morning. He was also coming to look for a place to live. He had an appointment to meet a realtor friend after he had taken JJ to school. And then he was also supposed to meet with Lori's brother, Adam.
So you and Charles have this evening on the 10th. Were you going to meet again?
Yeah, we were supposed to meet up in the late afternoon after he got through with the things that I just said.
So did you have a set time for the next day?
Mm-mm.
Can you describe Charles? Was he a fit man? What was his size?
Very fit and into physical fitness. And while we were talking, I know that he was swimming. I got to go to the gym. And very, very fit, strong.
When you were talking with Charles on July 10th that evening, let me ask first, do you recall about what time you ended up meeting him?
It was around 7. I got there first, and but it was right around 7, between 7 and 7:15, I'd say.
And do you recall about how long you guys were together until you finally
left? The restaurant closed at 10, and they were closed, and no one else was there, so it was after that we left. And then, like I said, we stood by my truck and talked for another half hour, 45 minutes after that.
Okay. So a later evening.
Yes.
Can you tell us, you said that you understood he was going to go see his son. What was his demeanor about with regards to JJ and seeing his son?
Like a kid on Christmas morning, he was very excited to see JJ.
You had talked about his demeanor in when he would talk about his wife on that evening. Or ever, did you ever hear him swear or use derogatory names or anything like that towards Lori Vallow?
I was surprised with the details that he was describing to me, how kind, how kindly he still spoke about Lori, and his hope was that she would be a great mom for JJ.
Did that stand out to you?
A lot.
Why?
Most men that you date are not nearly so kind about their ex and describe them in more derogatory ways and don't speak so kindly. And I remember just thinking how odd in a good way it was that he was not speaking in a derogatory way about Lori.
So that made an impression on you?
It did.
During any of your conversations with Charles, did you ever learn that he had a life insurance policy?
I did.
As you are talking, did Charles really just tell you a lot about his life?
A lot about his life, yes.
Were you almost surprised at the amount of detail of his life that you learned?
Yeah.
Did you understand whether or not any changes had been made by Charles to the life insurance policy?
He told me that he had changed his beneficiary to his sister, Kay. And as he was proceeding to tell me some of the things that were going on, I suggested to him that maybe he should let Lori know that he had changed the beneficiary on his life insurance to Kay.
Why would you tell him that?
Because of the things that he was describing to me and his concerns for his safety and the thought that money would come into play.
When Do you recall where you were when you made that suggestion to Charles?
We were sitting at dinner at the keg.
So this is on July 10th?
Correct.
What was his demeanor like when you told him that?
He kind of chuckled and said that he probably should. Said that was a good idea.
You told us that you don't know Lori Vallow, correct?
I do not.
Would it be fair to say that you sort of have no beef in this case?
I have no beef in this case.
Do you know any of Charles's family back then?
No.
Any of Lori Vallow's family back then?
No.
When you, I guess, left Charles after talking in the parking lot that evening, you told us that you had sort of unformalized plans to see Charles the next day.
Correct.
Was there like someone would call someone, or how was that supposed to go?
He just said that he needed to do the things that I said, have a morning with JJ, find a place to live, meet up with Lori's brother, Adam, and, you know, then we would meet up somewhere for a late lunch or something.
Did you ever try to reach him on July 11th? Of
I did.
Did you try texting him ever?
Around 11-ish in the morning, I texted him and asked how his morning with JJ had been.
Did you get a response back?
I did not.
Did you try calling him?
A couple hours later, I called once, yes.
Did you get a call back?
I did not.
What were you thinking when you didn't hear from Charles after you spent this night?
I was puzzled how I had misread what I had thought been a good date so wrong that he would not even take the courtesy to reply. Wondered why, but just figured that was what his decision was.
So on July 11th, when you're not hearing back from Charles, did you know that he had been shot and killed?
No.
Did you later learn that Charles had been killed from seeing something on TV?
I was watching TV in December, I believe, and his picture came on the screen, and it said that he was dead.
When you learned that he, in December, that he had been killed, did you learn when that had happened? Did you try to investigate?
I did. They said the date, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's right about when I went out with him. And so I went to my phone and thought I probably had deleted our text conversations. If I'm not dating someone and I text, I usually delete the thread, but I had not, and I had the conversations, and then I realized that I was with him until 10:45 that night and that he died at 7:30-ish the next morning.
And did you later then talk with the police in April of 2020 to tell them what you knew about this case?
I did.
Thank you. The state has no other questions.
Cross.
Nancy Joe, right?
Correct.
And we have not met before, correct?
We have not.
Okay. And you stated that your husband, or my husband, told you that he was going through a divorce. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And did you have any way to verify that?
No, I didn't try to verify that.
Okay. So did it surprise you later to find out that we were not in the process of a divorce?
Charles was in the process of a divorce.
He was not in the process of a divorce. Did it surprise you to find that out? You've seen it all on TV where we're not getting divorced.
Okay.
So On the website that you met him, did he say he was divorced?
I'm not certain.
Would you have gone on a date with him if he would have said he was married?
If I would have realized how married he still was, maybe not. But I just met for dinner. I wasn't sleeping with him or anything.
Do you go on dates with married men?
Naturally? Argumentative. I'm going to also object under 611 for harassment.
All right. I'll sustain the objection.
Your Honor, do I not have a right to cross-examine this witness for what she has already testified to?
You can cross-examine her about what she's testified to.
So you did go on a date with married men?
I went on a date with Charles.
But you did not know he was married?
I knew his divorce was not final.
His divorce was not started.
Okay.
Okay. So in your text messages, you asked Charles if he was a good kisser. Is that correct?
Maybe, sure.
Did he answer that text message?
I'm sure he did.
Again, 611, harassment.
I'll sustain the objection for relevance and hearsay.
So are you trying to tell me and this jury that you went on one date with my husband and he told you all the details of our lives?
I'm telling you the truth, and that's what I know.
So you spent your whole date getting to know each other talking about me?
Don't flatter yourself. No, we did not spend the whole time talking about you.
You knew a lot about me, right?
I knew what I've testified to.
What else did you talk about on your date?
Lots of things.
Like what, for instance?
Life, kids, the church. Lots of things.
Okay. Did he tell you about anything about our other four children?
Yes.
So you knew that we did have five children as well?
I did.
Okay. Did he talk to you about my daughter, Tylee?
He did.
Did he talk about his relationship with her?
Well, I don't recall that.
Did he talk about the contention in his relationship with my daughter, Tylee?
I don't recall that.
I'm sure you don't.
Now I'm going to object to comments by the defendant made after questions testifying.
Right. We'll sustain the objection.
On your date, you talked about my husband was a life insurance salesman. Is that correct?
I knew he did something with money and insurance, but I really didn't know the details of what he did for work. Like I said, I don't ask the details about what someone does for work when I'm trying to get to know someone.
But you knew that he sold life insurance. You stated that.
I believe that I had a vague understanding that he did something with insurance.
And then he brought that up again at dinner.
No, we didn't talk about his work at dinner.
I thought you said you did talk about, correct me if I'm wrong, you said you did talk about that he changed the life insurance policy at dinner.
Well, you were asking me if we talked about that he sold insurance, which that didn't happen. But yes, he did tell me that he changed the beneficiary of his life insurance policy at dinner.
Did he tell you how much his life insurance policy was for?
Yes, he did.
What did he say?
$1 million.
Did he tell you how much my life insurance policy was for?
I do not recall.
You don't recall?
We didn't talk about you very much in that vein.
When did you talk to him about me very much then? If it wasn't at dinner, was it in your text messages?
We were talking about what he was going through in the process of separating from you, not about what your life insurance policy was worth. And we talked about you on the phone, and when I say you, meaning what he was doing as he was going through this separation.
So let me understand. You were dating some different men on this website, right? From the websites?
Sure.
Would you say it was common for men to be talking so much about their supposed ex-wives during their conversations with a potential...
It's actually very common.
Really?
Really.
Interesting.
And again, Your Honor, I'm going to object to the defendant making comments after her questions.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I won't do that again.
All right, please stop.
I'll just ask the questions.
Thank you.
So there were some text messages between you and my husband after the dinner on July 10th. Is that correct?
Correct.
What time would those text messages have occurred?
After dinner.
What time?
10:45-ish.
10:45 to what?
I'm not certain, ma'am. After dinner.
10:45 to midnight, maybe?
I just told you I don't know. Maybe.
What did you discuss in those text messages?
And I'm going to object to relevance again. If there's a specific area.
Sustained.
You testified a minute ago that Charles told you a lot of things about his wife. You didn't say ex-wife, but you said wife. Is that correct?
Okay, sure.
What were a lot of things?
The things that I've testified to.
Can you be more specific?
Am I allowed to do a narrative then?
Let's go on sidebar. This witness shouldn't take too much longer. I'll have the jury wait for a few minutes. We'll see if we can finish this witness as we go into the lunch hour. But I'll excuse the jury for just a few minutes because we're having technical difficulty with the court reporter being able to hear.
Please rise for the jury.
All right, please be seated. The jury is no longer present. The last question the defendant asked of the witness was along the lines of, what things did you discuss about me, meaning the defendant? Is that correct?
That's yes. What I recall, Your Honor.
Are you sure you wanted to answer that question? Because you're opening up a really big door. If you want her to answer the question, I'll have her answer the question.
How am I supposed to know what a lot of things are?
All right. If you want her to answer the question and there's no objection from the state, we'll
no
bring
objection.
The jury back in and have her answer the question. All right. Let's bring the jury in. Okay. All right. We're on the record. State of Arizona versus Daybell, CR 2021-001704. The prosecuting attorney's present. The defendant's present. We'll continue with the cross. Was there something before we bring the jury in?
Nothing from the state.
All right, we'll bring the jury in.
Miss Hancock. You said that you had seen on TV that my husband had passed away. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you indicated after that you saw my sister-in-law, Kay Woodcock, on that show, and you reached out to her. Is that correct?
I didn't indicate that, but that is correct. I reached out to Kay after I saw that Charles had died.
Okay. And did you do that through Facebook or?
I did.
Social media? Okay. How many times between that first contact and now have you and Kay Woodcock communicated?
I've spoken to her just once. I've texted her here and there I've texted her here and there about other things. I don't know what I can say.
Okay. How about how many times have you texted her?
I have no idea.
Like more than 10?
Maybe.
Okay. Have you ever turned over those communications to the state?
No.
Did they ask you for them?
No.
Okay. Did you ever turn over the text conversations you had with my husband to the state?
I was never asked, but I understand that they retrieved them via having them through Charles' phone.
Okay.
I would have had I been asked.
Okay. Did you turn over any other communications that you had with anyone else regarding this case to the state?
I don't believe I've had any other regarding this case to turn over to anybody, so no.
Okay. How many times have you spoken to this prosecutor?
To Ms. Kay?
Yes, to Ms. Kay.
I met with her once in person and one other phone call, and then just text messages about the logistics of being here today.
Okay. How many text messages would you say?
I have no idea.
More than 10?
I know court was running behind, so she had to text me to come at a different time. Probably counting yesterday and today to redo the time, more than 10, yes. Prior than that, probably no.
Okay. Did you have a meeting with her to prepare for this testimony?
I met with her once.
How long was that meeting?
An hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Okay. Was anyone else there?
No.
Have you ever spoken to my brother, Adam?
Yes, but only because I ran into him at my grandson's pickleball tournament the other day.
And how did you know that was him?
Because I've seen him on media via the situation surrounding you.
So you initiated a conversation with him?
I just said hi, and that was, he asked me who my grandson was, and I pointed it out, and that was the end of it.
So you introduced yourself to him? To my brother?
I don't know that I introduced myself, but maybe.
How would he know who you were?
I don't know that he knew who I was. I knew who he was.
So you went up and talked to him?
I did talk with him, yes.
He didn't call you over, so you went up and talked to him?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And when you were talking to him, you told him you were who?
I told him that my name was Nancy Jo Hancock.
And did he recognize that name from something?
Can I go back and change how I met your brother? I forgot this until right now. So, on a dating app, your brother's picture came up on my dating app. And I sent him a message and said, but he had a different name that he used, not Adam. And so I just sent him a message and said if he was going to use someone else's pictures, he should probably pick someone different than Adam Cox. That's how I met him.
That's how you met my brother, Adam?
Correct.
Do you know what perjury is?
Absolutely.
Can I object, Your Honor, to
this question?
Argumentative harassment.
Same. Argumentative.
How long was this conversation that you had with my brother at the pickleball tournament?
A couple of minutes, maybe less.
And how many times had you communicated with him before that?
Only that message on that dating app besides that.
One message, one time?
I don't remember. I think he messaged me back and it didn't continue.
So just the one day then? Maybe several messages in one day?
I might have sent him one other message, but it was just one interaction and there was nothing further.
And you did not schedule a date with him?
I did not.
Okay. Have you ever spoken to Brandon Boudreaux?
Yes.
Okay, when?
He attends the same church that my daughter does, and he happened to be at their house briefly, and I didn't really speak to him. I just knew that that's who he was.
And how did you know who he was?
Because my daughter told me.
And who did she say he was?
Brandon Boudreaux.
In relation to me?
She knows the story, and I know the story, so she just had to tell me that his name was Brandon Boudreaux.
That he was married to my niece? Is that the information that you had?
I know that he was married to your niece, yes.
Okay. Just the association is all I was asking. And you did speak to him that time?
Well, I don't believe I spoke with him.
Okay. But you met him?
Or? I don't know that I even met him. I was there. He was there with some other people, and I knew that that's who that was.
So you didn't introduce yourself to him?
I did not.
Okay. Did you speak to any other law enforcement besides Ms. Kay? Not that she's law enforcement, but did you speak to any other law enforcement about this case or be interviewed?
Yes.
Who? Who did you speak with?
Detective Moffitt is who interviewed me. I believe that that's... I might have left a message for him. I couldn't tell you who with, but the only one that I spoke to was Detective Moffitt, Nathan Moffitt.
And when was that interview?
In 2020, I believe in April. A long time ago.
Okay. How long was that interview about?
It was a telephone interview, and it lasted 45 minutes, I'd say.
Is that the only law enforcement that you spoke to besides the prosecutor?
Yes.
And how long between that interview with Detective Moffitt and your first communications with Ms. Kay, how much time passed in between there?
With Trina Kay?
Correct.
I met with her just a month ago, 5 weeks ago, and I gave an interview in 2020, so.
Is that the first communication you had with Ms. Kay was 5 weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Hancock, were you aware at the time of your date that I did not know that my husband was on dating websites and dating women?
Objection, speculation.
Sustained.
Were you informed by him that I knew of the situation of us being separated?
Well, he was under the impression you were having an affair, so him moving on was a natural effect from that.
He told you that?
Yes, he did.
Just to recap, you said that you met my husband on July, Charles, on July 3rd. Is that correct?
Approximately. Give or take a day.
And you went on a date with him on July 10th?
Correct.
So that was what, 7 days later?
Approximately.
So would it be fair to say that you knew my husband for a week?
Approximately.
Okay. And then you had no contact with Charles after that, correct?
Well, he was dead, so clearly I didn't have contact with him.
Okay. And it wasn't until you saw that he had passed away on the news that you reached out to anyone, is that correct?
Correct. I didn't know he was dead.
And that was about 6 months later, is that correct?
I believe it was December, so July to December is 5 months, I believe.
Okay. And then you found Charles' sister, Kay Woodcock, my sister-in-law, yes?
Objection asked and answered.
I'm just going over the timeline, Your Honor.
I'll allow it. Go ahead.
So when is the then you're referring to?
So at the 5 months later that you said in December, after that is when you contacted Kay Woodcock?
To express my condolences for her brother passing away and wanted to let her know that I had had dinner with him that last night and how much he loved JJ and how excited he was to see him the next morning. And just...
Thank you. That's enough. I'm just recapping here, and you contacted her through Facebook, is that correct?
And again, asked and answered.
I don't think that was actually asked yet. I'll overrule. Go ahead.
Yes, as I said before, I contacted her through Facebook.
Okay. And then sent a few text messages, is that correct?
That is correct.
This is recap of everything we've already gone through.
And then you said you met with police on April 22nd, 2020. Is that correct?
I didn't say April 22nd. I said I believed it was sometime in April.
Okay.
And I didn't meet with them. It was a telephone interview.
Okay. And that was around 1 year after my husband passed away. Is that correct?
Well, July to April would be 10 months, so...
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.